Hey, fabulous people. Thank you for tuning in. I was going to switch that up and create a new intro this week, but no matter who you are, an entrepreneur, a marketer, a CEO of a big corporation, you're all fabulous. So you're fabulous people, and I thank you for tuning in. Today's podcast is going to be a very, very special one, and I'm hoping for you it'll be a lucky one because it's lucky number 7, social media changes. And these are changes I could not bring to you if I did not have the help of the person I'm trying to announce. Here we go. The illustrious, the engaging, the intriguing. What's your name this week?
I am Teddy from Bob's Burger.
Teddy from Bob's Burger. I love that show.
Me too.
I love Teddy.
I still think that he and Linda have something going on.
I agree. I think there's some scandalousness there, you know, but hey.
So does that mean I get to call you Bobby for the rest of the podcast? Hey, Bobby.
I would be Linda. Are you kidding me?
That's just awkward. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
Wait. Before we do that, wait.
Teddy's my applause. Thank you, Teddy.
I finished.
Are we done, Teddy?
Okay.
All right. So today's podcast. I know that according to research... And here's another little tidbit for you. Lists with 5 and 10 are the most engaging. For some reason, humans are drawn to 5-point lists or 10-point lists, you know, having the numbers 5 and 10 in the title. I'm going against that today. Pardon me. I'm going for lucky number 7. These are social media changes that have happened recently that matter for your marketing right now. Right now. So even if you're listening to this on your commute, which I hope you are, I'd like to think this is some pretty funny slash informative commute material to consume on the train or in your car. Possibly also one of the strangest marketing podcasts out there. But these are 7 social media changes that really matter for your marketing right now. So let's knock them out. Number 1, all that research that you did about when your audience is online and, you know, when is the optimal time to make a social media post, throw it all out. Burn it. Yes, I just said that. It actually no longer matters when you post. Now, this has happened with several platforms. They just didn't announce it. And Facebook was... I don't even know if Facebook actually made the announcement about this particular change. But it no longer matters. What matters now is the quality of your post. So you could make a social media post when Facebook is basically a ghost town. It could be 3:30 a.m. And it's all about the quality of your post. It's not about the optimal times to post or when people are online. The fact is, if your post is engaging... the more engagement it gets, views, reactions, shares, comments, that's what keeps it going in the news feed. And one thing that you may have noticed is you're starting to see posts in your news feed that are up to 3 or 4 days old. Now, keep in mind, the lifespan of a Facebook post used to be, a year or two ago, about 4 hours maximum. For the most part, you could not count on a Facebook post living longer than 4 hours. Now they're lasting 4 days or more because every time someone engages with it, it goes through a lot of people's news feeds again. So stop wasting your time on research about when is the optimal time to post and instead divert that energy and research into how you can make your posts better quality, more engaging. Again, this is not just on Facebook. It's on Twitter, Instagram, and countless other platforms. They just didn't make the announcement. Now, Facebook has done a little switcheroo in the notifications. You'll notice your notifications are now divided between new and earlier or older. But the point is, really, is that whatever post you make, the effectiveness of it has nothing to do with when your audience is online. So start making better posts. Teddy, anything on that? Are you going to say it in Teddy's voice?
I was going to try to be like, hey, Bobby, how you doing, Bobby? But I can't do it because I have a cold right now. This is a very interesting statistic. I had to look this up and, you know, kind of cross-reference this with a friend of mine at Facebook that I bugged on a Sunday morning because I forgot it's still 8:55 there. And she's like, Mike, what are you doing waking me up so early? And I said, number one, this is not Mike. I'm Teddy for the podcast. And number two, I need a statistic. So... And I can't speak on Facebook's behalf because she would punch me in the face if I told you. But Facebook realized as if let's look at this from a perspective. And I don't want to take too much time on this. If you look at videos that are being shared, you notice now what people are doing. A lot of major news outlets are sometimes doing is just to extend the video to give more interest to someone. They're doubling up on the video. So if a video is 45 seconds in length, it will show as 90 seconds because they're replaying the video right after it stops.
Mm-hmm.
This is to add it's engagement. Looping. And yeah. Yes, it's swooping. Exactly. I think that's what you said. The other thing is that video content, I'll give an example from GameSpot.com. I'm a very frequent of theirs because, you know, of our...
Are you going to go down the video road? Because we have...
I know, but I'm just giving as an example.
Okay.
A lot of videos from GameSpot.com live up to 9 days
mm-hmm.
on the social media channels because of the popularity. And the more engagement it has, the better the lifespan of it. So you're absolutely right where the 4-hour time rule just been thrown out the window because you could post a video at 1 a.m. But if it's getting engagement at 6 a.m, it's going to be engaged throughout the whole day.
And let me point out another little feature that really backs this up and proves this. One of the things I've noticed in my own timeline is I can be scrolling through my news feed and I'll see something that I've never subscribed to. I've never clicked on it before. It may be from a page I've never even seen, but it has a little header over it in bold black font that says popular across Facebook, which means Facebook is literally proactively shoving into my timeline something that is popular across Facebook. No doubt with their artificial intelligence, they've gauged that based on my friends list and other things I'm interested in, they know that that may resonate with me more than other people. So the idea is really to make your post as engaging as possible, the ultimate goal being to end up as one of those, especially video posts, that gets that coveted label of popular across Facebook. I mean, that's really when you've arrived in the algorithm.
Yeah, for 15 minutes.
No, yeah.
You know, that's what you call your 15 minutes of fame. But like to add on to that, I know we're going to get to the next couple of topics. When you do your Facebook videos, it's a good rule of thumb, keep it under 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Optimal 90 seconds or less. I can't remember the guy that you watch, but he does 60-second videos once a day.
Nas Daily.
Yes, and you know, it's very engaging, very to the point. People, whether they're in the bathroom in the morning or on the commute to work or at their desk or, you know, wherever they're at, they don't want to be engaged with a video that's longer than 90 seconds to 4 minutes.
And here's the irony, because today alone, as I was drinking my morning coffee... most people would never sit down and watch a 9-minute video. but I watched about 9 episodes of Nas Daily because his videos are 1 minute each. And so do the math there. People will not stay tuned for a 9-minute video, but when it comes to those short, engaging videos, I watched about 9 of them. So take that to heart. And video doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be real. People have to be able to relate to it. So anyway, moving on to number 2, which is hashtag marketing. And most of the clients with whom I've spoken about this, they don't understand. They know what a hashtag is, but for some reason, when I put those two words together, hashtag marketing, wait, what is that? What's hashtag marketing? Well, we all know what hashtags are. Most people think that they can just put a hashtag and make up whatever they want. No, folks, not anymore. There actually is and has been an entire science behind hashtag marketing. And for a reason, you know, touching back on number 1, it's because of popularity and engagement. And so if you use a site like hashtagify.me, spelled like it sounds, hashtagify.me, you can actually test out your hashtags. Go to that site, type them in, and if you see a 0 on popularity, guess what? You're using a hashtag that no one cares about. So use hashtags that actually do rank and that mean something, because now hashtagging is sort of a new facet of SEO. I don't think anyone's even said that before, but hashtag marketing is a new facet of social SEO. And so one of the reasons this is so critical, why would I be so bold as to say that hashtagging is part of SEO? Because on Instagram, for example, it used to be that people could only follow businesses, brands, business profiles. You understand what I'm getting at, I hope. But you'd have to work your way up in terms of popularity, following size, in order for people to know who you are and get that big following. People can now follow hashtags, not just brands, not just profiles. They can follow hashtags. So let's say beauty tips, just hypothetically, is something I follow. Now it will bring up content from people I've never seen before, and they may be just starting out. But if their content is good, if it's great quality, whether it's hashtag productivity, hashtag inspirational quotes, hashtag cloud services, it doesn't matter. The point is, if you're using the right hashtags, you now have a competitive advantage. Even if you are a small fish in a big pond, you can now compete if you're using the right hashtags. So make sure, pardon me, that hashtag marketing is something that you take seriously and that you've put into your marketing strategy. Yes, Teddy?
Okay, something interesting. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl.
Oh, yeah, I know what's coming.
Do not use hashtag hi, hashtag my, hashtag name, hashtag is, hashtag Teddy. It is shown that 97% of people that see a post with more than 5 hashtags will completely ignore and swipe left. That's a millennial term, swipe left. You will have a 97% chance of being ignored if you use multiple hashtags in a post. Now, Camille, I don't know what is the proper number. The number that was given to me by statistics was 5. Is that more than 5? Less than 5? Less than 5. So I would say maybe 3.
So the magic number for hashtags is 3. You can push it to 4. If you are desperate to get your message across, you can push it to 5. Don't ever, don't look in the basement. don't go past 5 hashtags. 3 is your magic number. It is statistically proven that once you add that 4th and 5th hashtag, your engagement and your reach begin to drop. So use them, as they say on Project Runway, as Tim Gunn would say, use it strategically. Mm-hmm. So if those hashtags really matter, and if you've already done your legwork, you've gone to hashtagify.me, and you know that those are great hashtags and they're very relevant to your content, get crazy. Go ahead and put in 4 hashtags. But if your message is simple and to the point, keep it to 3. That's the magic number.
I totally agree. Again, doing research that if you know, for the customers out there, for your business owner, small business, medium size, consult your marketers. Have your marketers go on the web, see what is being relevant to your brand, and then use strategically, like how you said, Tim Gunn, use the wall strategically, the hashtagify.me, to make 3 unique hashtags that are towards your brand, but also things that people follow.
And if this does not have to be rocket science, folks. I mean, whatever your business or your service or your products may be, you can plan ahead. Do your research. Come up with a list of 5 or 10 hashtags that pertain to you and what you do. Maybe the list differs from product to product or service to service. But the point is, this is something that if you do it right and you use that accessory wall strategically, you can come up with a list so that every time you make a post, you don't have to go back and do that research again. You can just look at the list of hashtags that are most important for your business and just pick the top 3 for that particular post, and boom, you're done. It doesn't even have to take any more time or effort. Just come up with that list once, maybe update it every couple of months because popularity changes, people change, but do it well, do it strategically, and you will have a major competitive advantage when it comes to getting more reach and engagement in your social media. So, are we ready for number 3? Stories. Now, I will admit that even as a marketer, for a long time, I really questioned what were the point of stories. Why does it matter? Then, recently, there were some very significant changes in so-called stories. Now, this is not to be confused with storytelling. We all know that storytelling has been heralded as the right perspective to use in social media because people like stories. It's just part of being human. But stories are when you can string together a series of posts that are all related. Now, one of the reasons that stories are included in Lucky Number 7, social media changes that matter, is because they just became available on Twitter. Why did this matter more than when stories became available on Facebook and Instagram? Because you can now forget the character limit. Yes, we all know that Twitter just doubled their character limit, and we're all very excited about that. But if you use stories, there is no character limit because you can actually begin to create several tweets that are connected to each other. So even if there's a 280 character limit, if you can create, say, 3, 4, 5 tweets that are all engaging, hopefully you're smart enough to have put very catchy, relevant graphics in there or GIFs, you can surpass any character limit and create a story that will engage people and, of course, result in more followers and whatnot. And when this became on, you know, it was more breaking news when it became available on Twitter, because Facebook and Instagram didn't have a character limit. Now that stories are available on Twitter, this is huge, because you can really convey a lot through a Twitter story. When is, you know, another thing about stories is that they're no longer mobile only. So Facebook, WhatsApp, these platforms are now making it possible for you to create these stories and posts on desktop, not mobile only. I think the social media powers that be have been hearing complaining for a long time of, why do I need to use my phone to do everything? I'm trying to create content here. I'm not consuming it. I'm trying to be a marketer, and I have to do everything with a little smartphone. So, you know, it's sort of like Facebook Live. It used to be that you could only Facebook Live from a mobile device. Now you can do it from desktop. Same with stories. You can now do them from your desktop. And that makes a big difference for business owners and marketers and whatnot. My question is, when is Instagram going to finally do that platform divide and, you know, cross that divide, I should say, and allow people to post directly to Instagram from desktop? I know there are a lot of workarounds, but when are they actually going to break down that wall and allow people to start posting regular posts as well as stories on desktop?
They won't. And you want to know why?
Why?
Instagram still applies to people over, you know, from the ages of 12 to 27. And because most people that are between the ages of 12 to 27 use their devices, such as cell phones and tablets, that's their market, and they will never change.
I disagree.
I disagree.
I can actually show you statistics where people up into the ages of 65, and also people with higher educational and socioeconomic demographics, are using Instagram more and more than ever before.
And you're right, but still, the gap market is from ages of 12 to 27. And like just the video game industry, like the clothing industry, when you go to Hot Topic, you don't see a sister's t-shirt. You see t-shirts that are more like Rick and Morty, because they're aiming towards their demographic. Facebook is, I hate to say it this way, but it is true. Facebook is for the older generation, you know, from 30 on up, where Instagram is for the young kids. You don't believe me? Look at my daughter. She stays on Instagram all day. I think that's how the kids say it. Where she will never touch Facebook. Where you and I are on Facebook engaging with other like-minded people, but we haven't used Instagram as much until the last year, where we were using it a lot more because it became more readily available.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree, because
I disagree.
I heard you, Teddy. I've seen the statistics, and yes, Facebook is still not only the biggest kid on the block when it comes to monthly active users, but also the broadest range of education. So if you are looking to reach those executives who have college and postgraduate degrees, as well as income, people on Facebook also reach the highest income brackets of any other platform. However, Instagram is very quickly catching up to Facebook, possibly because Facebook bought it. And Instagram is now being used by baby boomers and other socioeconomic demographics, income, you name it. So it's growing. Instagram is growing. If you're not using it yet, get on there. And my last point about stories, if you have been afraid to jump onto Instagram because it used to be all about pictures only, graphics. You had to have a graphic in order to post on Instagram. Guess what? That just changed. Literally it's changing as, I can't even tell you when it changed, because it's changing as you're listening to this podcast, where you can now go on to Instagram and post a text-only update, and Instagram offers you a menu of GIFs or images that you can put behind your text. They've sort of lowered that bar in order to increase usership, so that people who don't want to go out and make a custom graphic or whatnot, they can just go on it onto Instagram with the text that they want to convey to their followers or beyond. And Instagram is now giving them GIFs that they can put behind their text in order to make it into a graphic. So definitely, getting back to our main point, stories. Look into them, start using them, start taking advantage of the it's more real estate. More real estate means more exposure if you use it right. So, number four, a little bit controversial. Facebook is getting, well, Facebook has always been the leader in when it comes to social media strategy. That's why if you've been really tuned into the social media world over the last few years, you always see these articles, is Facebook dead? Is Facebook dying? Oh, please. No. Facebook is never going to die. Why? Because they're always putting out new testing, new strategic measures. They're always finding new ways to make themselves, make itself more and more useful. Well, Facebook is taking a bit of a gamble right now, and it's changing up its algorithm. In other words, the artificial intelligence behind the machine, how it thinks. And Facebook, as you've probably heard, is making a sacrifice, and they're saying that they may lose up to $300+ billion in revenue, because they're going to start including more content in your newsfeed from family and friends, less from pages, less from ad. Well, I don't know if they're going to live up to that less from ads promise, because that's where they make a ton of money. But they're going to cut down the amount of business and brand reach and include more updates from your family and friends in your newsfeed. So they feel that this is a short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. People are getting tired of seeing so many brand posts in the newsfeed, so many ads. So they're going to include more from friends and family, leading to more users, more people who are willing to use Facebook because they don't have to cut through all the marketing messages. And in turn, they'll end up with an even larger user base. From a strategic perspective, this is actually pretty smart. You know, it's an investment like any other. It's maybe a short-term loss for long-term growth, significantly. So think what you want about it. Let us know what you think about it. I'm curious. You know, I know it's a very hot topic right now, but just a few pointers to get around that strategy if you're one of those brands who's freaking out. Yes, there are a lot of brands, companies, and marketers out there right now freaking out about this new Facebook algorithm. Number one, create more video. You heard us talk about video in a previous point. Let me remind you all that it is predicted that by the year 2020, 80% of internet content will be accounted for by video. Imagine that. We'll be getting onto an internet where 80% of what we find is video. Create a Facebook group. If you want to get more reach with your page, more engagement, create a custom group. Invite your followers and your fans to come into a group And depending on the nature of what you do, keep the privacy settings in mind. Remember that if it's a public group, everyone will be able to see what someone posts, and some of your users may not like that. If it is a closed group, only other members of that group will be able to see the post. So let's say, for example, you are a life coach, or maybe you have, maybe the nature of what you offer is a little bit more personal or intimate. You might want to consider making that a closed group, because you'll actually get more engagement from people who feel safer sharing their personal experiences in a closed group and knowing that their entire friends list isn't going to be notified that you just shared that information. Multi-channel marketing. You know, there's a reason that that keyword, multi-channel marketing, has such high search volume. And yes, I am that much of a geek that off the top of my head, I know various search volumes for different keywords. But there's a reason it has such high search volume. Get your message across different platforms. Don't just rely on Facebook alone. Remember that the search engines, as well as the social media platforms, they're all using artificial intelligence, and it's kind of freaky. It's not that artificial anymore, but they index social media results a lot more quickly than they do web results. So get your message across different platforms. Ask and ye shall receive. Engage. Don't assume that people still want one-sided information. You know, that was Web 1.0. We went to Web 2.0. Now they're not even pointing it. But the point is that people don't want one-sided information. Ask them to engage. Ask them to even argue. I ask for people to argue with me in my podcast because I want that. Not just for the sake of engagement, but I want people to help me broaden my perspective and the spectrum of what I can bring to my listeners. So argue with me, chime in, and ask your followers to do the same. Here's a point about this new, very controversial strategy. There's actually been some research, and this is very, very breaking news. So if you've kind of faded out for a minute there, tune back in. There's some research that shows that this new Facebook algorithm may actually lead to more depression and more negative feelings overall. Why? Well, Facebook is sort of a highlight reel. People like to compare themselves, or people by nature compare themselves to others on Facebook, their family, their friends, acquaintances, even strangers. And if those people's, as it's often called, highlight reels, because people always like to glorify what they post on social media, people are now going to be seeing more than that. If you've ever heard the expression, comparison is the thief of joy, well, a lot of people are going to be seeing their news feeds and they're seeing these updates from friends, family, strangers, coworkers, whatever the case may be. And because they are essentially highlight reels, that's a lot more comparison and that's a lot more joy that's being stolen. And so if you want to compete, make your content more uplifting. Put more motivational memes in there. In the video content that you make, put more emphasis on uplifting messages, inspirational stuff. Highlight the potential of your product, your service, or whatever it is that you're trying to put out there, because the person seeing your message may have just gone through 10 other posts that make them feel depressed. Your post may be the one that really lifts them up and makes them feel like, hey, this is positive. I'm going to follow that brand. So that's how to deal with Facebook's new, I'm calling it, sacrificial strategy. Teddy, anything? Oh, we are running over time. So, all right, just a couple last things. WhatsApp. I'm including WhatsApp because I am a marketer who has been guilty of ignoring WhatsApp for a while now. I thought it was pretty much only a millennial platform, but I have been tracking its growth and its usage over time. And I'm learning that it's not just for millennials, it's for the global market. So if your business, if your product, your service, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're trying to reach a global market, WhatsApp is apparently not just about being a social network. It's the fact that it's free. And in a lot of countries where data plans are not so affordable, people can't afford to send text messages and whatnot, they're using WhatsApp. And WhatsApp has become aware of this, so they're now rolling out a whole bunch of new business tools like business accounts, verified accounts, autoresponders for easy engagement with your users. There's even going to be a paid enterprise version coming out soon for big businesses, while a free app will still be available for small to medium-sized businesses. They haven't figured out the whole monetization thing yet, but WhatsApp is getting serious about business, so your business should start thinking about WhatsApp. If I've never mentioned it, this is number 6. Verified. I mentioned being verified on WhatsApp. All your other platforms, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, get verified. This is one of the biggest... Yes, Teddy?
Well, I'll let you finish your point and I'll give the statistic for that.
There is a little check mark next to your name on various platforms. It could be a subtle little gray check mark. It might be a bright circle with something in there. But what that basically says, and this could be as easy as showing Facebook a copy of your LLC certificate, and bam, you're verified. But what it tells the entire Facebook world is that you are to be taken seriously. So get your business verified.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. It's very easy to do. You just look at the respective platform, you know, follow their procedures. It may take a couple of days or weeks based on, like, the, you know, the demands that they're asking for, but it is shown and proven that an end user or a customer, or they're both one and the same in my opinion, will be more likely to follow a verified account than to follow a third-party account. And that includes Facebook groups and other types of social media platforms.
Very true. Now, here's lucky number 7. I don't know if it's actually lucky, but it's number 7. And we're going to be bringing this to a close. So pay attention to this and to our bonus question for the day. Number 7 is that social ads are surpassing display ads. Now, again, this is one of those times where, as a Google partner, I sort of feel like I'm cheating on Google by mentioning this, but social media ads are now surpassing display ads. I know Facebook has their own display network. It's called the Partner Network or something like that, but the point is, if you are a marketer, you've known for years that the conversion rate, even the click-through rate on display ads, is very low. Social ads are blowing them out of the water. So in your strategy going forward, really think more strategically about putting social ads into your marketing mix. because they are passing display ads. This is no surprise to me as a marketer. As a business person, you may not know this. So you could be wasting valuable marketing dollars putting out display ads that no one clicks on, that don't get any conversions or sales. Put your money where your audience is, and that's on social platforms. Now, we have a bonus point today.
Well, I have the bonus point.
I was just going to say I'm going to leave this to Teddy, but you've already commandeered that, so go ahead.
You know, it's kind of funny, and you know, like how Camille's working with clients and all, and you know, she sticks me with all the grunt work. Thank you very much, Camille. But one interesting aspect came about, you know, we were speaking with some of the clients, and they all had a universal question in their own respects, and one of them was, where do you think LinkedIn is headed? I know LinkedIn has this pro service. I know, Camille, you use it also, you know, for us to find clients and so forth. And there's been a lot of rumbling. I don't want to go into specifics, but I know there's been people that have been happy with the service, and there's been a lot more that have been unhappy with the service. So,
and by service, you just mean membership, like being a, exactly, having a business account on LinkedIn.
So I want to let you chime in. I'm going to mute my mic, and I'm going to let you chime in and tell me what your thoughts are. Now, this is just...
You sure you want to do that?
It's not the greatest idea right now, but yes.
You know, I am so frustrated. I am literally about to downgrade my LinkedIn account. Yes, there is a service on there called ProFinder where you don't look for clients. It allows for new clients to find you. So I get requests all the time, you know, from people who need a marketer. They maybe need SEO. They need social media. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they put essentially a request out there, and a certain number of people can put in a little mini proposal. And first of all, I've found that that is all but useless. Most of the people who use that service are not serious, and they have no idea what they're doing, what they're looking for. Also, when it comes to LinkedIn, I've noticed over the last year a couple things. Number one, as a user, because remember, if you forget your perspective as a consumer or a user, you will never again be a great marketer. And as a user, I am tired of getting sales pitches and dating requests as soon as I connect with someone new. That to me is pure spam, and it's a waste of my time. For my clients, I have noticed that when I create LinkedIn pages for them, no one's following them. No one's going to these new LinkedIn pages, no matter how beautifully I create them. People are not going to LinkedIn business pages to look for company updates and whatnot nearly as much as they used to. And so I'm thinking of downgrading my own account back to a regular free account because there are other first movers popping up, like Alignable, where they're keeping it strictly relevant. And maybe it's a good idea for me to jump on Alignable and get that first mover advantage there so that I'm not getting overseas dating requests and sales pitches, you know, as soon as I engage with someone. Yes, Teddy?
Hey, let me kind of chime it up to where, you know, we're running at the 44-minute mark right now. LinkedIn is becoming what Facebook was back in 2008. Like, hey, let's all jump online. Let's all reconnect with people. Let's connect with other people. And what is it becoming? It's becoming a big cesspool. I'm sorry for using that term. It is. I've seen, I monitor your emails, you know, while you're busy with clients and stuff, in case something emergency comes through. And I get at least 15 to 30 emails a day from LinkedIn of people wanting to date you, or, hey, you know, check out my website and it's a phishing site, or even now to the point where that LinkedIn has become the Wild West. There's not even accounts that are verifiable. It could be just someone stealing someone's photo online And it becomes a business version of catfish.
That's happened many. I've actually done reverse image searches on some people who requested to connect and found out that that was either a stock photo or a picture of a model advertising sunglasses. And I sent a message and I'm like, wow, you're that model. And it's funny, you know, I don't hear from them again. But I was skeptical when I saw the new section of people you may know, just like Facebook does. I was skeptical when I started seeing in my LinkedIn notifications, wish so-and-so a happy birthday. Again, it's supposed to be a business-oriented network. What really put that nail in the coffin for me was when I saw that LinkedIn now allows you to put filters over your profile picture. That, for me, just said, okay, this is no longer to be taken seriously as an executive or just a business-oriented network. And that is why I don't know if it's worth $60 a month for me to continue being a premium member on a network that is now becoming 60 to 65% fluff and maybe 30% real business.
Yes, unfortunately, that's what it is. And that's almost the same amount of statistics that I found also just while we were talking. I mean, I have nothing against LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's a great way to connect with other professionals. But LinkedIn is not doing a good enough job at the moment of flushing out fluff for legitimacy. And that's what's causing this to become the Wild West.
Yes. And I honestly, this is truly from the heart, folks. I want to know what you think. Should I downgrade my account? Should I continue paying $60 a month just so that 7 out of 10 people who want to connect with me have a sales pitch as their very first message to me?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it? How's LinkedIn working out for you? I want to know.
The only time where sales pitches work as a first impression are for hookers.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah, and unless you are someone that's prostituting yourself online, you know, for immoral services, which most of us don't, we're good, you know, honest people, that's the worst way to start off a business relationship.
It is. And it is.
So, you know, like how Camille was saying, you know, we're reaching at the 50-minute mark, so we're going to cut this to a close. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag AskCamille. She did use hashtagify to find that. And let us know, do you think Camille should downgrade or stay at $60 a month, which takes away from my video game fund? So, you know, us interns here, we don't make enough, guys. You know, yeah, maybe we should start a new hashtag. Help Mike.
Oh, gosh.
But no, seriously, guys, use the hashtag AskCamille. Let us know what you think about these new changes on social media. Let us know about whether or not should Camille... try saying that 5 times, downgrade her LinkedIn service. And let us know what you think about LinkedIn. Do you agree with us? Disagree? Do you think we're both, you know, just fluffing this up? Or do you actually see what we're seeing and it's about time someone starts speaking about this?
Absolutely. No one's talked about this yet. No one's really brought that out into light, you know, what's happening with LinkedIn, what's going on. So I want your feedback. I want to know. I mean, just the same way with WhatsApp. I disregarded it for a long time, thinking it was millennial only, but WhatsApp changed, and therefore I have to change, and then my marketing strategy has to change. That is how it works, folks. That's how you win. So I'm sorry that this podcast is for a longer commute, but these 7 points could change your strategy for the entire year or longer. And think about that bonus question. Where are you spending your time, your resources? And is LinkedIn still worthy of being one of them? So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You know, I can't say it enough. I want to hear from you. I want you to argue with me. I want you to tell me what your experiences are with all of these different platforms, with stories. What do you think of the new Facebook strategy going on? Have you ever used WhatsApp? Do you like the new changes on LinkedIn and what's going on? I'm a very easy person to find, so Just get in touch, and thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Teddy, for all your help. And have a great day.